Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I believe there's a restoration that's coming to the body of Christ, that a renewed spirit would rise up in the people of God to commit and to serve. Not just to serve, but to commit and to serve.
Bishop Clark says Christ-centered restoration inspires a renewed spirit to commit and to serve.
Our service really doesn't meet the mark that God wants it to meet if we only serve without being committed. Volunteering and helping is good when you do it at the hospital, but in your church, you must commit.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to the Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Today, Bishop Clark asks the question, can God pick up broken things and broken people to restore their sense of purpose, belonging, connecting, serving, and growing? Grab your Bibles and let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 3, and the second chapter of Joel, verses 25 and 26, as Bishop Clark begins the message, Prophetic Restoration, Part 2.
We're very excited about this message. I'm excited about not only the delivery of the message, but what I see coming after this message is released in the hearts of God's people. The Lord gave me a message on restore. You know, I think David said it in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Bring back my consecration. I believe God wants to restore the joy. Not only that, he wants to restore the fervor and the vitality, the zest and the zeal that many of us have lost through hard times, through our desert wandering. God wants to restore it all. And so I'm ministering a word on restoration. I'm ministering a word on restoration. And I want to just take a moment and come against any agitation in the atmosphere. Let me decree that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Any agitation in the atmosphere, any disturbances, any unusual occurrences, so we can all be on the same page. Father, I thank you for this moment. And I would ask that even now that your spirit would arrest the atmosphere, that everything would come into compliance, everything would come into order. Any distraction, any plan of the enemy to stop this message from getting up and out, any problem with signals, any problem with attentiveness, I come against it, bring it into captivity. Every thought against the obedience of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that order is in the house, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Can God pick up anything broken? Any broken people, any broken stores, and restore it? Restore a sense of purpose and dignity and destiny and belonging and connectedness and serving to that group of people? You may answer by saying he can. Let me ask it again. Can God pick up anything broken? Any people that's broken? Can he pick up a people and a group, anything or a group of people that's broken and restore it, restore the purpose of it? Give them a sense of belonging? Can he give us a sense of connection? Yeah, you can lose your connection and God can bring it back. You can lose a desire to serve and God can restore it. You can lose your desire to grow and to be stronger and God can reserve it. He can preserve it. He can restore it. Restoration, write it down, is always Christ-centered. It's always Christ-centered. Anything outside of restoration or Christ-centered restoration is not biblical. Jesus died that we would be restored to health. He died that we would be strong. He died that we would have a right, as we used to say, to the tree of life. But even more than that, he died that we can have life on this earth more abundantly. And so restoration is about engaging, coming back to worship. We sing a song here, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. What about hunger? Hunger. Not just for steaks and ribs, but hunger for the Word of God. I believe there's a restoration that's coming to the body of Christ, that a renewed spirit would rise up in the people of God to commit and to serve. Not just to serve, but to commit and to serve. Our service really doesn't meet the mark that God wants it to meet if we only serve without being committed. Volunteering and helping is good when you do it at the hospital, but in your church you must commit. We do believe that God wants to convert lives during this season, converting lives by renewing finances. If your finances get renewed, believe me, you're going to smile better. He converts lives not only through your salvation, but renewing your finances. He's renewing your family. Relationships are renewed. I believe God wants to restore the soul that has been damaged back to good health, back to the joy of the Lord. He wants to fix some marriages. Amen. He wants to even restore some lost glory. I want to draw your attention again to Joel chapter 2 before we go into the declarations tonight. Joel chapter 2 verses 25. Look at the restoration that Joel prophesied. This is the same prophet that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost when it was fully come. And they were all in one place and on one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Peter was able to look at the downpouring of the Holy Spirit, the rain of God, and say, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Let's look at Joel again. Joel chapter 2. I will restore to you, verse 25 of chapter 2. I will restore to you the years that the swarming crowded, the swarming locusts, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts. My great army which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wonderfully, wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Notice he says, I'm going to restore the years. This is a great promise. He's going to restore the years that the swarming locusts. That word swarming relates to the crowded surge of locusts. Now I want you to think about a rain cloud. You look at a rain cloud, you can tell that rain is coming. But think about a cloud of locusts that's so thick. The surge of locusts, as you look out over the horizon, you see this dark cloud coming your way. That's what it was like. It was a swarm, a crowded surge of locusts. And there are times when things seem to swarm in our lives. And I'm just talking about insects. We have situations that fly. We're trying to swat it away. And we don't know how we're going to come out of the swarm that hit us or the surge of these creeping, crawling things. But God says, I'm going to restore what they ate in your life. Here's another one, the crawling locust, the swarm or the crowded surge, but here's a crawling thing, this creeping, crawling thing that snuck up in your life. You looked over there, you didn't see it, it was sitting in the darkness, but it started creeping and crawling. Before you know it, it is already in the house and it has brought its luggage and a few friends as well. God says that crawling locust is going to have to give back the years that it tried to take from you. I'm talking to somebody who's had a crawling thing in your life for years. But God told me to tell you this is your season for restoration. Not only is the swarm God's going to fix and the crawler, but God said the consuming locust. The consumer never pays for anything, only takes and borrows. God says, I'm going to shift that. The intense, overwhelming locust. It's consuming, almost like a fire. It burns up your passion. It burns up your love. It burns up your desire to move forward. God said, that consuming thing, I'm going to take care. It's been eating up your glory. It's been eating up the things that you're trying to present to the Lord, even eating your seed. But I rebuke the devourer in the name of the Lord, the consumer in your life that didn't want you to prosper, didn't want you to ever, ever have anything that's worthwhile. You take two steps forward, you have to take four steps back. That season is coming to an end. And I want to talk also about the chewing locust, the chewer. the chewer, the grinding locust. You can hear him chewing up your stuff. God says the chewing locust is going to have to give back the years that it snatched your harvest away. Glory to God, grinding your stuff in its teeth. You can hear it chewing your stuff. It's all coming to an end through this season of restoration. Glory to God. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. In other words, what's coming is a harvest that's so rich. You will eat in plenty, so much so you'll be able to give some away. Glory to the Lord. The Lord spoke to my heart with one of our staff members years ago, Juana Richardson. She's now resting in the arms of Jesus. And he told me, he said, when you eat, I want her to eat. I was like, whoa, what are you saying? You want me to buy her grocery every week? He said it again. When you eat, I want her to eat. I said, yes, Lord. And as soon as I said, yes, Lord, people started getting me sending steaks from all around. I don't know where these steaks came from. They would show up on our front door. Some Oklahoma steaks, Omaha steaks, nice thick stuff. And I would always share what the Lord is. It's happening even now. Every Thursday, I get a Jamaican box that comes to my house. And I get oxtails and I get all of this other stuff that somebody said I'm sowing. And Brother Brown, every once in a while, sends me some pea soup, and he makes sure I got the bread and the cheese that I need. I don't know where it's coming from, but I've been able to help other people and share the stuff with others. Let me tell you something. When you obey God, God will blow your mind with what he's trying to do. He will give you more than enough, not just enough to make it, but he'll give you more than enough to make it. Just obey God. Stop thinking about self and what you can get, and stop consuming everything, and learn how to give, and God will give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, come on, shaking together and running over. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord our God. Watch this. This new restoration is going to cause us to come up, to cough up a new praise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And praise the name of the Lord who has dwelt wondrously with you. Can we give him a praise right now for the harvest that's coming, for the new season that we're moving in? God is turning things around. Late in the midday, God is turning around, and I'm believing for a great harvest. Can somebody shout amen? Glory to God. And my people, I like the last sentence, my people shall never be put to shame. And I push shame back, and I decree shame would not be your clothing anymore. People like to look at your past and look what you did and how you did it. Yeah, that's them. That was me then. But now the glory of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is covering me. The glory is covering my life. I'm moving forward. I got something to praise him for. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel's vision was unique. But before we get to Ezekiel's vision, I want to remind you, we're talking about Ezekiel's dry bone visitation. I think I read to you out of Ezekiel 37:1. And he carried me out in the spirit on the Lord's day and set me in the midst of a valley of dry bones. And behold, they were very dry. The condition was beyond death, and it moved into decay. Yet God set the man. Notice he didn't just put him in a valley of dry bones in chapter 37, but he prepared him for it in chapter 36. You need to read chapter 36 when he told him to prophesy to mountains. Stop trying to raise the dead and get stuff back to its rightful place when you haven't learned to prophesy to your mountains. I'm talking about insurmountable problems that's in your house, a mountain in your house, a mountain in your kitchen, a mountain in the yard. You got to be able to speak to it in the name of the Lord. And guess what? Jesus said it like this. If you say to this mountain, be removed, and don't doubt in your heart, it will be cast into the midst of the sea. Now, there are people who want to speak to Nagasaki, mountains in Japan, and big mountains around the world, but won't speak to the mountain of debt that's in your own house. God wants you to learn how to deal with your mountains before you look to those physical mountains. the mountains of ardent kids or wayward, impertinent kids, kids who are just angry that need a little help along the way. I don't know where we are today, where we're trying to sit. Johnny, please sit. Please sit, Johnny. Johnny, please. When the Bible says, spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. I'm from the old school. Let me tell you something. If you don't get yourself together and get your face saved, I got something for you. Glory to God. You don't have to be mean, but you got to be direct, and you got to get this stuff straight. The Bible says, bend it when it's young, because when it's old, you try to bend it, you may have some dupes up. Let's go to 1 Peter before we deal with Ezekiel 37. 1 Peter, I like Peter. I like him because he's the one that prophesied, took Joel's message and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I think it's appropriate, if we're going to talk about restoration, to look at what Peter says out of the NIV, that is chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verses 10. And the God of all grace, going to need grace to be restored, who called you to his eternal glory. Know your calling now. See, even if there's a deficit in your life, know that God called you to an eternal glory. It's beyond breath and it's beyond this life. It's an eternal glory. Take your eyes off the situation and start looking way down the road, even beyond the road and beyond the mountains, beyond the hills from which comes your help. Look up, for your help comes from the Lord. I say again, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. After you have suffered a little while. Suffering is a part of the believer's journey. I know no one wants to talk about that, but it is true. You won't even know the depth of Jesus until you're able to suffer with him. I think Paul said, if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. And every once in a while, he allows us to go through tests and trials. And these tests and trials aren't meant to kill us. They're meant to show us just how mature we really are in him. You will not know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. That's not something that you just pass through overnight. Sometimes you go through it for a few years. But that's all right, because the Bible says, after you have suffered a little while, will himself, look at the word, he will restore. You can look at it. So if you're suffering, what is the next phase? I'm going to be restored. He will restore you and make you strong. So when your restoration comes, you can begin to stand on the word of God, put your feet down, because you're not just going to get through it or survive it. You're going to be restored. Even your strength will be restored. Look at this. You will be firm. You will be firm, not dense. I'm sorry, density is good, but you will be firm, sound, firm foundation. Jesus is a firm foundation. In him I stand secure. When you see firmness, you're going to see security. And here's another S, steadfast. So steadfastness and firmness and security and strength all comes as a result of being restored. So I decree and declare steadfastness, firmness, strength, glory to God. Stability is coming to the people of God as restoration comes to the people of God. Can the church say amen? Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, please read it, because it is what the Lord gave to me for our church. Not so much that we're a valley of dry bones, but you need to see the condition and then the promise of God. God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the Valley of Dry Bones, to prophesy to it. Now it's very dry. They're just disjointed. There's no connection. There's no sinew. There's no life at all in the valley. But when he obeyed God, there was a rattling and a noise. And I believe in the spirit, even now, there's a rattling and a noise that's taking place. Glory to God. Listen, when God begins to recalibrate your life and bring it into order, sometimes people want to hear nothing but the word victory. But you got to learn how there's going to be a noisy mess when God starts recalibrating stuff. It's not all peace. You can't just hide and put on your ear pods and think everything's going to be okay. God sometimes wants you to hear the noise. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. It's an indicator that he's making a move in the spirit. Have you ever picked up a noise, a sound? One of the members shared with me today that she heard a noise. It woke her up. She believed God says the open doors, many open doors, sound like someone was opening a door, glory to God. And she just felt like she needed to say that to me, our young dancer. She was dancing during the women's conference. She said, Bishop, I believe God said open doors are coming. I said, I want you to prophesy as he commands you. She said, open doors. That's right. We need to learn how to decree and declare things that it can be established. When God show you something, speak it out of your mouth. Speak it out of your mouth. God is giving you so much favor right now. As you speak it, you may start seeing the blessing come in your way. Glory to God. God transported Ezekiel, put him in this valley of dry bones. Then he told him to prophesy. I like verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. If you would just obey God, you're going to see a miracle. So I prophesied as I was commanded. What you cannot define, you will never realize. It would never materialize in your life. What you can't define in prophecy, you will never walk in the reality of it, in the reality of it in the natural. God wants you to learn how to define it and then prophesy it. Glory to God. Sometimes you got to look at the real condition to prophesy the end result. You have to see the fig tree not bearing fruit so you can speak the end result. You got to look at the issue that's not there. What did the enemy steal in your life? It's not, he stole my joy. He stole my love. He stole my peace. I'm not bearing any fruit of the spirit at all. Well, God says if you can define it, you then can get it restored to you. Glory to God. We can't be just lazy believers anymore. We got to start writing some things down. I'm missing something in my life. And if you can define it, God said you can walk in it. So begin to define the areas of your life that demand restoration. The area that demands restoration. It demands renewal. It demands revival. The three R's. There are areas in your life that demand restoration. That it demands renewal. It demands revival. There is no other recourse. If it remains the same, death will occur soon. And when you're desperate enough, you'll start decreeing and declaring what the Spirit is saying to the church. So prophetic restoration is here. Prophetic restoration is here. I decree, based on the rule of law, as it relates to the word of God, that as I release these declarations in your life, that you're going to begin to believe God and walk in the manifestation that he's given to you. A prophetic restoration is not you have to see it happen first. It's a release of the word of God. You grab that word, confess it yourself, and decree and declare yourself that you're going to walk in the fulfillment of it. Are you ready for it tonight? Glory to God. For those of you that are watching, I hope you are working with me. I'm working hard today, and I want to make sure that you're getting it. So as I decree it, you need to write it down. Write it down so you can decree it again in your home and over your family. Number one, the hand of the Lord is upon you with prophetic power. This prophetic power is for your restoration, for revival, for healing, for lifting, and for empowerment. I say it again, the hand of the Lord is upon you now with prophetic power for restoration, for revival, for healing. That's not just physical healing. There's some mental healing. There's some inner healing that God wants to do in you. For your lifting. And for your empowerment.
A study was done with a group of people who left their jobs, and 64% said in the study that they didn't feel valued, a sense of importance. They lost that sense of meaning in the work. Meaning in the work forwards a sense of belonging. There is a simple distinction between recognition and appreciation. They're related, but they're very different. Recognition is based on positive feedback, based on results and performance. Recognition is motivating. It feels good. However, recognition is finite. It's scarce. It's only based on performance. Appreciation is much more vast, expansive. It's more about people and their spacious capacity. Let us expand our capacity when we think about appreciation, soul appreciation, and the harvest of value and importance will follow.
You are who you are, no matter where I am.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For your physical copy of today's message, Prophetic Restoration Part 2, when you write or email us, use reference number 2109-2207. That's reference number 2109-2207. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The teaching priest takes a hand, opens a mind, and touches a heart. Maybe you attend a church or a ministry where you feel all of the positive emotions one can feel, and your value is tied to that. You may have employment, well-paying job outside of the church community. Maybe you're a business owner and your value is tied to that. Or maybe you're tired, weary, and desperately searching for a well-paying job. You may not hear it at church, but you're listening, you're hearing it from me right now. I appreciate you. Thank you for your service, the effort, the fellowship, the support, for your volunteer hours, your heart for the loss. Your family responsibilities are taken care of. You're on the job, and I appreciate you. God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Try.